welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Morning, everybody. There's a very short amount of time that I've got to share this morning, so I'm going to be motoring. Hopefully you'll keep up. I have some slides, so that should make it a bit easier for you. It'll certainly make it easier for me too. This morning, I've been pondering over this for the last 4 weeks or so, and so it's really a culmination of prayer, and hopefully I'm expecting three things when I've been praying about it. The first thing I'm expecting is that for some of you, you'll receive a measure of information. It'll be something that's of interest. Hopefully, for some of you, it'll also be a measure of revelation, that there'll be something in this that is new and is fresh, and God speaks to you direct. And the third thing is that there'll be a measure of impartation, that you'll actually take something away from it and put it into practice, that it's not just information and revelation, and then you go away and you're a Sunday saint and a Monday ain't, you know, but it becomes something that you actually put into practice. And so, excuse me. And so I have a set of keys, five keys. And this morning, that's what I'm going to be talking about, five keys. First scripture, please, Judy. It's a wonderful piece of text. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me ask a question. Who here is fairly certain, confident, knows that you are currently walking and living in the will of God for your life? I'm one of those people. I know that I am where I'm meant to be. For the rest of you that may not be so sure, this is for you. And it's actually for all of us, because we can move forward with this as we continue to ask God what His will is for our lives. And so this morning, I'm going to be sharing with you five keys to help find the will of God for your life. Do you think that's a good thing to find out? Yes. I certainly do. So the first thing that I want to have a look at is having a good attitude. Like I said, I need to motor, so please excuse me if I'm moving quickly and my Australian accent kind of blows things a bit for you. We need to have a good attitude. Now, I'm not talking about having a positive attitude or a negative attitude. I'm talking about having a good attitude, and I want to unpack that and explain what I mean by that. There's this wonderful instruction in Proverbs, which will come up, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight." Believe it or not, as Christians, if we come to know God and we're walking in a relationship with God, it's not our responsibility to actually figure out what our paths look like. It's His responsibility. He will make our paths straight. Our responsibility is just to trust God, to have a good attitude, first and foremost. And that's what I mean, at least, by having a good attitude. Take, for example, Moses. Moses is a great example. He saw some amazing miracles, incredible things. Who has ever walked through a dry, bedded Red Sea? Not me. Moses did, and he led, you know, about 2 million people through. That's just beyond my comprehension, but it's there, and he saw it. And he saw a whole array of amazing miracles, and yet, right at the end, he missed it with his attitude. He developed a bad attitude. He got angry at God, and he ended up missing out what God had called him to do, which was to take the people into the promised land. So he should have had a good attitude, but in the end he didn't. Job is on the other end of the spectrum. He had a horrendous amount of stuff go wrong for him. You know, he lost everything except his life. And he had every opportunity to have a poor attitude, and yet he didn't. He kept a good attitude, and God turned it all around and worked all things together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So where he should have had a terrible attitude, he didn't. But I think the one that gives me the most hope is actually the example of Jonah. Jonah had a terrible attitude. He was like, you know what? God says, And it's amazing. God's talking with him. He's in relationship with him. He says, I want to save the people of Nineveh. And Jonah's like, uh-uh. That's not for me, God. I'm out of here. And he runs. And of course, most of us will know the story. Jonah ends up inside the belly of a big fish. And while he's there, in this terrible place, in this terrible position, he has a change of attitude. So that's why I say I appreciate him the most, because he changed his attitude. He didn't just stick with it. He changed his attitude, and all of a sudden there was this divine twist where the fish spat him out, and we all know the story. You know, the Ninevites had a massive revival. So let me encourage you just with this first point, this first key to finding the will of God for our lives. Even when we find ourselves in a bad place, a good attitude will always set us up for success. It will always set us up for success with God. Amen. So next slide, please, Judy. Any nautical or maritime peoples know what these are? Leading lights. Who's ever heard that term before? Leading lights. I love this illustration. This illustration, they're leading lights. Basically, what happens is you have a ship's a vessel's captain, and they're coming into a treacherous, potentially treacherous body of water, and they have these series of leading lights, and the captain has to position the vessel in such a way that the lights align, and then if he follows that aligned leading lights, he'll navigate safely through that passage of water. And so in pondering on that, I think that there are three spiritual leading lights that we can apply when we're trying to find the will of God for our lives. And so I'll show you the second picture. That's kind of how it works. So you have a front leading light, a rear leading light, and you can see how that works. Like I said, we don't have a lot of time, so let's go. Next verse, please, Judy. Aligning the spiritual leading lights. The first leading light, what do you think that might be? Anybody want to have a hazard, a guess? It's one of them. Holy Spirit. Very good. Very close. So, Judy, the first leading light that I'd like to suggest is that we follow the voice of God. In Romans, it says that we're allowing themselves, those who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And you have this wonderful illustration throughout all of John 10, where Jesus is talking about being his sheep, and he rounds it off by saying, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, which is wonderful, because Richard was talking about sheep earlier on, and I'm like, yes, there's a connection. Thank you, Jesus. And of course, in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you things that are to come. Now, I think that's a really powerful leading light to when we're saying, God, I want to know what your will is for my life, to listen for God to speak to us. And these scriptures, I hope, encourage you to know that he will speak to you. He does speak to you, and that as his kids, as his sheep, we will know his voice and we will follow him. But sometimes that voice might be a mighty rushing wind, might be something really big, really clear, very distinct. Sometimes it can be that still small voice. It might be a painting. It might be a song. It might be a time of worship while you're out, you know, down on the sea front, just seeing the sunset and God starts to speak to you. Whatever that looks like for you, we need to be able to trust that God will speak to us and does speak to us. Here's the thing, though, at least for me, sometimes that voice can be a little bit muffled, and that can be for any number of reasons, you know. And so that's why we need to have a second leading light. Certainly, I know I've known plenty of people that that because they're solely, like really heavily emphasizing on living a Spirit-led life, when things go wrong, people just go, oh, well, let's just crush it. Let's despise prophecy. Let's just know there's no spirituality at all in that sense anymore. It's just we need to be word people. That's why I said let's listen for the voice of God first and then follow that up by the second leading light, which is the Word of God. We need to have that anchor in the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If we're feeling, if we don't know that we're being particularly soulish about seeking God, if we come to the Word of God, it will help. It will help to discern the thoughts and the intents of our heart for us. It's very powerful. But not only that, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman may be complete, equipped for every good work. Where we might stray, of course, if we try to live a Spirit-led life only, we need the correcting alignment that comes from the Word of God. It's totally reliable. It's useful for our lives, and the results of its work are always going to be maturity. Even just in general, even if we're not looking for the will of God specifically, it's always going to birth maturity in our lives. The scripture says there that we may be complete, and that means whole and complete, sound of body and mind, fully grown, especially something that's fitted for an intended purpose. I love that. And as well as maturity, it's also service. So that's the second leading light. The third leading light, if we were to lead our lives just by those two, I think that would be good. We would be well-placed, very well-placed. But I think that we also ought to consider having a third leading light, and that's the people of God. We all need to have some people around us to talk with, to have as counselors, to say, hey, what do you think about this? Proverbs has a lot to say about this throughout all of it, but there's these two verses here. Without guidance, people fall, but with many counselors, there is deliverance. And I really love the Message version of this Proverbs 12 verse that says, fools are headstrong and do what they like. Wise people take advice. And so when we're considering, God, what's your will for my life? And we think we've heard his voice, and it seems to be in line with the Word of God. We need to ask some people that we trust, some people that have a good record with the Lord themselves, and ask them, what do you think? And if they have that excellent track record, they're sincere, they have no agenda, and they love us enough to tell us the truth, even if it means saying, no, I really don't think that's quite right, we need those people in and around us to help align us correctly. Because otherwise we might miss it a little bit. And it can take years then to correct. I was reading something about a big ship, the big cargo ships that are out on sea. If they have to make an emergency stop, it will take them about 24 kilometers to stop. It takes a bit. And so if we make a bit of a mistake, I imagine that it could take a while to be corrected. And it's not to say that God can't correct it, but you may find yourself in the belly of a big fish first. And nobody wants that. Yeah. And so, what was the first key to help find the will of God for your life? That's the first leading light. The first key is to have a good attitude. Yeah, that's right, to have a good attitude. The second key is to have these leading lights, the voice of God, the Word of God, and some people of God around us. And now, there's three more keys to round out the set, and I'm actually going to put them all together because of time. And so the first one is make a decision. Make a decision. Okay, God, I've heard from you, I've read your word, I've talked with people, and things seem to be okay, so let's make a decision. But don't move. Just make a decision. This is the way that I'm going to, what I think God's going to do, so I'm going to make a decision. And it's because, like it says in Proverbs, it's better to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So make a decision, and then give it back to God. It's like tying it back into that good attitude. Okay, God, I'm making this decision. Now I'm just going to wait and see if there's peace, which is the fourth key. move with the peace of God. So make a decision, but don't move. Pray about it, ask God, seek God about it, and then he will start to give you a peace. If there's peace, then you can begin to move with it. So that's the fourth key. After you've submitted your decision to God, then do what it says in Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. And again, that ties into that first verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will guide your paths. Now, if you feel peace about your decision, then begin to make the move. If you're feeling any sense of agitation, though, don't move. Go back to the start. Come back to God. Say, God, I just want to make sure I've got a good attitude. Make sure I'm hearing your voice correctly. And go through those three steps again. Don't move if there's no peace, because it's a recipe for disaster, really. And fifth and final key, and I'm just about done, which I think is wonderful. Look for open and closed doors. How many times have you heard somebody say, you know, pray for God to open a door? We should do that, absolutely. We should absolutely do that. But let's have a look at this verse. In Revelation 3, where it says, you know, write to the Holy One, write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, the Holy One, the true One, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close. Most of us know that part and love that part and try and seek that part. And closes and no one opens. Perhaps you haven't considered this before, but God will open a door. And you're going, yes, okay, so we've got all these four keys and everything seems to be shaped up and really good. Now, God, will you open the door? And he opens the door. But then there seems to be another door open over here and another door open over here and another door open over here. And suddenly you've got analysis paralysis. I don't know what to do anymore because there's too many opportunities. In the same way that we need to ask God to open a door, we need to ask God to close doors. Because he's the only one that will close a door that he doesn't want you to go through. And if he closes a door, no one will open it. No one will open it. And Marie, my beloved, she has seen that in effect quite a lot. You know, she over the past, 18 months? She's applied for different jobs, meets all of the criteria that's on the paper. Puts in the application, which takes 8 hours to fill in sometimes, and big thud, heavy door shut. No, that's not the door that is for you right now. And so, that's it, on time. So, I've lived this. I'll just finish by saying that I've lived this. I didn't have it codified quite so neatly, but I've lived this. And I would go so far as to guarantee, and that's a pretty strong thing to say, but I'll guarantee that if you're willing to walk through these keys and to employ these keys as a believer, you will find the will of God for your life in particular situations. If you have that good attitude, God, I trust you. Doesn't matter if I'm feeling happy, doesn't matter if I'm feeling sad, doesn't matter if things are really good or really bad, I trust you. And I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm just going to trust that you will direct my paths. If you're there and then you align some spiritual leading lights, hearing the voice of God, anchoring that in the Word of God, because the voice of God's never going to contradict his Word, which he spoke. So that's why you need to connect those very strongly. And then find out what some honorable, godly people in your lives, some counselors, think as well. Make a decision, but don't move. Only move when you have the peace. And then find the open, but more importantly, the closed doors. And you'll be well on your way to finding the will of God for your life. Is that okay? I'm glad. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.